Amen. Thank you, David, for sharing that. Appreciate that very much. Well, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. And as you're finding that, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever known what it is like to lose hope? I mean, to absolutely lose all hope. Let's say, for example, that you had a particular goal in mind for your life. You wanted your life to turn out this way and then this way and then this way. And maybe you had it all planned out and it looked like smooth sailing. And then all of a sudden it came crashing down. Did you lose hope? Have you ever been in a situation in which you lost all hope? That's a dark place to be. That's a very low place to be. When you take your goals and your visions and your ambitions for life and you want to glorify God, these are great plans. These are good plans. You want to glorify God this way. And you see the path and you see the track. But then something happened that you didn't plan on. It didn't turn out exactly the way you wrote it up. And so what happens sometimes is we have these dreams and they collide with the world. They can collide with reality. Sometimes they can collide with sin. Sometimes it's another person's sin that just utterly destroys the hope that we have. And so when that collision takes place of our hope and just the cares and circumstances of this world, what if the world and sin and the circumstances win over that hope? Then you're at the place where you've lost all hope. And to lose hope can be absolutely devastating. My favorite movie in the whole world, I mean, there's nothing even anything close, is It's a Wonderful Life. I watch it every single Christmas. I make the family sit there and watch it. The black and white version, not the color version, the black and white version is the best. It's the pure one. So we watch It's a Wonderful Life. And one of my favorite scenes in that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, is probably 2/3 of the way through. Maybe you remember it. There's a conversation that's going on in the heavenlies of a senior angel and Clarence, who is an angel who's trying to earn his wings. And so that senior angel calls Clarence and he says, Clarence, there's a man down there who needs our hope. He needs our help. So Clarence says, splendid. Is he sick? And the senior angel responds, no, worse. He's discouraged. You see, and that's exactly what it is like. If sometimes losing hope and being discouraged is worse than a sickness. Sometimes you could wish that you were sick and not at a loss of hope and completely discouraged. So think about your life. Think about, as we apply this, think about the community, this amazing community that God has placed this church in. Tiga K is growing like crazy. Fort Mill is just exploding in growth. Rock Hill, Charlotte, all around us, it is growing. And you know what this community needs? This community needs the hope of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember the hope that just flooded into your heart? Well, that's the same hope that this community needs. And think about this. Even in Christ, we still need hope. Every day we go to work, every trip we take, we constantly need hope. So think about the others around us who don't have that hope of Jesus Christ. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the vision for how this church can build hope in this community. How we can do this and utilize the land over here that is on Gold Hill Road. So to do that, let me draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. Now before we get to it, let me set it up for you and give you a little bit of a context. What Paul is saying as he comes to verses 10 and 11 is he is saying that he, as one who has labored and who has sown the gospel seed into the lives of those in Corinth, in the Corinthian church, that Paul then, as the laborer, as the sower, should be able to share in the fruit. Now, what he's specifically talking about is financial help, financial need. And so there's a very important principle that's at work here. The sower is due and is good and it is right to earn a living off of their full-time sowing. Now, there's another spiritual truth that's at work in these same verses. So if you take that coin and you flip it over, what that means is that the church at Corinth, since they have been blessed, they now, because they have been the recipients of blessing, are under an obligation to be a blessing to others. So that raises the question for us. How can we, as Tega K Baptist Church, be a blessing to this community? Well, first of all, we got to realize this church has been blessed. God's had His eye on this church like you wouldn't believe. God's had His hand on this church. God has worked in the lives of people in this church. We are blessed with the leadership that we have, our elders, our deacons, our teachers. We are blessed with the volunteers that we have. They are faithful. God has blessed this church. He's watched over us. He has protected us. And He has showered upon us lots and lots of blessings. And so now it's our turn to be a blessing. And to be a blessing to the community. Now let me take you back just a little bit to the year 1985. In 1985, it was placed on the heart of some people in this community to plant a church in Tega K. The planting pastor was Johnny Rumbo, and it was a church plant that was a combination of the York Baptist Association and First Baptist Church Fort Mill. They came together and they said, "This is a growing area. We see God can do a lot of work here, and so let's plant a church here." And so there you have a small group of people who started this race. They got together and they said, they made a decision. Yes, there are risks. Yes, there are unknowns. But they took a step of faith and they said, we are going to plant a church. And so they started that race. And when they started that race, that was just the first of many steps. Do you know what this is? This is a relay baton. And what happens with a relay baton is that in track and field, you have relay races. And so in that relay race, you have somebody running with the baton, and they are responsible for running certain segments of the race. And so when they're finished with their segment of the race, they pass the baton on. And they pass the baton to the next person who takes that baton, and then they run, and then they pass the baton to the next person. So let me take you back to where this church began. That original group said, we'll start the race. And so they did. And then the time came to purchase some land. And so you've got another group there in the church, in Tega K Baptist Church, a long time ago, and they said, we will do this. We'll purchase some land. And so with all the unknowns that come with that, they said, yes, we will purchase some land. That's the land that we're on right now, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes. So what happened there is that original group took that baton of hope for this community and they passed it on to the next group who purchased the land and took the next step and they ran the next leg of their race. Well, as time went on and the church began to grow, well, there was a need for a building. There was a need for more space. Well, so there you have another group in the church who said yes. They said yes. You see, if you look back over the history of this church, there's a great history of people saying yes and then yes again. And then yes again. And so there was a group of people who said yes again. And so they put a building here. And so the baton was passed once more. And the baton was received. And they ran the next leg of the race. And so as time went on, more buildings were placed here. So let's fast forward to the year 2000. The church in the year 2000 said there's a vision. If we want to reach this community. And so they began to purchase some land right over here on Gold Hill Road, where the Goodwill Trailers is, the community garden, all of that over here. And so there you have, once again, you have another group within this church. Can you see how God's blessing and working in the life of the church all along? You have another group, and they said yes. And the baton was passed to them. And so they took it, and they made sacrifices, and they bought that purchase of land over here on the road. So every step of the way, the baton is passed. Now, today, it's our turn, as this current generation of TKK Baptist Church, it is our turn to say yes. It is our turn to receive the baton of building hope for this community and to run our leg of the race. Have you ever seen what it looks like in a relay race to drop the baton? I mean, to miss the pass. You see, if the baton is dropped in the midst of the pass, the race is pretty much over. And to see that baton drop is ugly. It really is. Well, if you're like me, you love sports. I love sports, really just about any kind of sports. And so I really like it when the Olympics are on TV. And over this summer, like many of you, we watched a lot of Olympics on TV in Rio. And one of the events that I specifically remember watching was the women's 4x100 relay race. Do you remember what happened in that race? The time came for the pass to happen, but the pass didn't quite work well. We've got a video that we want to show you. It's about 17 seconds long, but here's what happened at the Rio Olympics. Kind of painful, isn't it? You work so hard, the baton is passed, and for some reason, the handoff doesn't quite happen exactly right. We're at the place in the life of this church in which the baton is being passed to us, this building hope for our community baton, and we cannot drop the baton. We can't do it. We can't be that generation among the life of this church who said no. Who said, no, I'm afraid. No, I'm scared. No, I'm not going to take the baton. If you could hear the announcer on here, it's really, they are shocked. They are in awe. Oh my goodness, the baton. That video actually runs for another 30 seconds. And they just show different angles and different spots and all of this stuff because the baton is dropped. We cannot drop this baton because it is being handed to us. And as you notice on the video, when you're running a relay race, the woman in this case who is running and receiving the baton, did you notice where her eyes were? They were straight ahead. They were forward. You see, that's us. We are receiving the baton, and our eyes must be looking straight ahead. We must be looking forward. We must see the people who aren't here yet. We must see the work of God and His grace and His mercy that is not even begun in this community that He wants to use this church to do. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 10. Paul says this, does he not certainly speak for our sake? And then he says this, it is written for our sake, because the plowman should plow in hope, and the thresher thresh in hope, sharing of the crop. When the Bible speaks of hope, it speaks of hope very specifically. A lot of times in our day when we think about hope, we think of something where we wish would happen. We think it might happen. Chances are good it's going to happen. We hope it happens, but we're not real sure. Well, the biblical definition of this hope is very different. The way the Bible uses this word hope is something that is certain. It is sure. It is without a doubt, and not only that, but it carries the idea of great excitement and anticipation. You plow in hope. You thresh in hope because God is faithful. He uses His word. His word is true. And so as we are faithful, He will be faithful to give that hope. So what would it look like for TKK Baptist Church in this hope? Well, let me share with you a vision that has been boiling, I think, in the life of this church for quite some time that I want to share with you. There are four parts to it. The last part involves relocating to our land over here on Gold Hill Road. But before we get to that, let me show you this. One of the things that we need to do as a church right now is that we need to begin to look like our community. You see, for any church, you name it, whatever that church is, the community is constantly changing. People's needs are changing. Some move away, some move in. The demographics change. You remember we did this massive demographic study so we could understand our area better, so we could understand what it's going to look like in 5 years, in 10 years. What we need to do as a church is we need to look like our community. Part of what that means is to modernize our worship facility. Now, you've seen part of this. We've got some great speakers out here and monitor out here, and we had some wonderful folks up here yesterday, and we had a great work day yesterday, and we did lots of work around here. But coming in the coming weeks, you're going to see even more changes here in this worship center, some furnitures and so forth, and so you're going to be seeing that. The reason we're doing that is because we are looking forward, just like that runner who's catching the baton, and we're looking to the people who need to know Jesus Christ. We're not changing things just for the sake of changing things. We're changing things because people need Jesus. It's a gospel focus. Listen, when we were up here yesterday and we had this work going and we're cutting trees down and we're putting roofs on and spreading mulch, you know why we're doing that? It's because Jesus died for people. Not trees, not buildings, not mulch. We're not doing it for that sake. It's for people. So it's modernizing our worship facility. Part of what goes on with that is in our children's ministry. I am really excited for Kid Check. You guys have heard a lot about Kid Check. And it's something that Matt is doing. It is going to be amazing because it goes a long way in ensuring the safety of the kids who are left here. And if you ask parents, one of the first things they want to know is my child going to be safe? That's part of this modernization part of it. Also, we want to emphasize three things. Come, live, share. Now, the coming part is the Sunday morning time. We want to emphasize, we see a day in which the people of God will take Sunday morning and will say, there's no place on earth I would rather be than with God's people on Sunday morning. We're to come together and we're going to have spirit-filled worship and we're going to have wonderful music and great fellowship. And so we want to emphasize inviting people to church, inviting neighbors to church, inviting co-workers to church, because people are important. And then there's a live part of it. You know, recently we changed our name of our small groups to life groups. Well, the reason we did that wasn't just for a new name. It was because that communicates exactly what we desire to happen. That is that in those small groups, a life group, whether it meets on Sunday morning or whether it meets in the home during the week, that is where discipleship happens. That's where ministry takes place. And so we want more and more people involved in that. More on that in just a moment. And then also to share. Wherever we go, where God has us, we want to individually share with people. So if you take a step back and you look at these three words, come Sunday morning, that's a large group. Live, that's our life groups, that's a small group. And then share, that's individually. Now if you're thinking, my, that kind of sounds familiar. Have I read that before? You probably have in the Gospels. That's what Jesus did. He spent time with large groups, and then the small group, the disciples, and then individuals. Peter, for example. We want to look like our community, and we're making great strides on that. Also, go and tell. This is our outreach. We want to be not a come-and-see church. We want to be a go-and-tell church. We want to be a church that is constantly looking out. We have to all be about the people who are not here yet. So we want to focus on reaching people outside of the church. You know, there's a big discussion and sometimes angst among churches all over the country. And the battle is of time. You see, people are getting more and more busy. There's more and more stuff out there to do. There's ball games and piano recitals and there's this, and this. There's lots of things that compete for our time. And you guys know as well as I do, Sunday morning is not what it used to be. Sunday morning used to be a point where it's set aside and you don't touch Sunday morning. We don't live in that world anymore. Sunday morning is up for grabs now. And you guys know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Sunday morning is up for grabs now. So a church can do one of two things. A church can sit back and bemoan, oh, the time, and the people are unfaithful. I don't think that's the way to go. You know what I see here? I see an incredible opportunity. So the people are out in the world. The Christians are out in the world. That's a good thing. If we can teach people how to share the gospel, then when they are out in the world, they are ambassadors for Christ. You see, no longer is it the model of inward focus, come here, come to us, come to us, come to us. It's a go and tell now. It's a go out there. It's a share the gospel. You see, we can't create new time. But what we can do is leverage the time that people have. Think about it this way. In regards to the gospel, there is no supply problem. The gospel is sufficient for every single person on the entire globe. Jesus died for everybody. You know where the struggle is, though? It's not a supply problem. It's a distribution problem. And the way to solve the distribution problem is for people of God to learn how to share the gospel. And as they go out into their mission field every week, they are ambassadors for Christ there on their mission field. So we want to expand evangelism training, which we've got going into several life groups now. Here's another part of the vision. That is life groups. That's our discipleship. And the vision for the life groups is what I call a decentralized ministry. Now, what that means is that it's no longer so much the church, the big umbrella church group, planning something and then trying to coordinate with everybody's calendars, which is nearly impossible to do, and then doing all of this work on a large, big, big scale and coordinating people's calendars and then wonder why people aren't coming because they're very busy, which is what we've just talked about. Instead, if we take our life groups and we have ministry happen through those life groups, whether Sunday morning or during the week, doesn't matter, think about what that would look like. If in your life group, if there you're planning ministries for your group, if there you're planning activities for your group, if there, even so, you're planning maybe mission trips. In our life group, one of the things I love, and we're still having a great discussion on it, is what's going to be our mission project for the fall. We've got some great ideas, and I'm really excited about what we're going to do. So it's a ministry that happens within those small groups, and we desire 90% participation. Yes, 100% would be even better. We must stress that every person be involved in a life group. It may not always be convenient. It may not always be easy, but I can tell you this, it's important. Very, very important. Fourth is this, to relocate. This is what I want to spend a bulk of our time on this morning, and that is the vision to relocate. To build a new church building on the property over here on Gold Hill Road. This is our current property, and we're currently sitting on 6 acres of land. And so as you look at our church property here, you know, there are some certain challenges with it, and we'll talk about some of those in just a moment. But we're on 6 acres of land, and we've been really blessed with that 6 acres of land. But God has blessed us even more. So as we think about our building, one of the things that we see is that it's not conducive for growth. We've been saying that for years. It's just very hard to grow. It's not very guest-friendly. Now, let me go back one time. As you look at our facilities, one of the things you know is that we have different buildings and they don't really connect, and it is very, very difficult. It is a huge obstacle for us to try to reach families when they have to go out into the freezing cold weather to take their children to different rooms, or in the pouring rain to take their children to different rooms. Our buildings that are separate and not connected really in any way are not helpful to us at all. But over the course of time, as the church has grown, we've had to add these buildings. Not a thing wrong with that. But in our current facilities, it's not guest-friendly. So it would take a complete makeover. It would take a complete makeover of all of our buildings. Let me put it to you this way. How many of you have a super-duper old car? I have a Honda Accord, and it is 18 years old. And it is held together by some Band-Aids. In fact, I got a lot of... The engine's making some weird noises. The front end is making some weird noises. I've got a little oil drip there that's in the thing. You can tell where I park down here at the house because there's oil there. So you got to You got to keep adding oil. So if you have an old car, one of the things you realize is you get to the point where you have to ask yourself, how much money should I sink into an old car before I realize I'm throwing my money away? At some point, there's a new car, not necessarily brand spanking new, but a newer car so that you're making better use of the money. That's where we are as a church. Some of these buildings back here, and we've got some great men and women who do lots of work on them, but they're hard to keep together. They're hard because they're trailers, and so by definition, they are temporary. Now, this current property here, all the 6 acres, all the buildings that you see here, all of it is debt-free. Praise God. The land is debt-free. The buildings are debt-free. We're very excited about that. God is just richly blessed in that. And so the vision then is to sell this property. Take this property, sell the property, and here's the reason for that. We want to do everything we can to lessen the debt burden on a new building. We have to be very careful what kind of debt is placed upon the church. And so one way to do that is to take this land, put it up for sale, and then take that money and put it towards a new facility. Now, here's a picture of our land over here on Gold Hill Road. It's 12 acres of land, and it really is a wonderful piece of property. In fact, let me tell you this. It's such a neat piece of property that I think everybody has noticed it. It's a great piece of property. It's a great location on a very busy road, on a very busy and growing part of York County, which is one of the fastest counties in South Carolina, and it's prime real estate. Let me illustrate it this way. Over the course of years, it's not uncommon at all that a developer either call me or send me an email and say, hey, we've noticed your land over there on Gold Hill Road. We would love to buy that land from you. I mean, we have offers a lot to buy that land. Every single time, the answer is no. We're not going to sell the land. The land is not for sale. I got an email just last week, of a developer who said, here's what he said, and it's typical of the other developers who contact us, and he said, we're always looking for the best properties around that we can find. They want to develop it. They want to put all kinds of stuff there. We've had developers contact us from as far away as Alabama, all over South Carolina, North Carolina. We've had lots. They're looking at the property. They see the way the area is growing, and they want to take advantage of that. So isn't it amazing that God's given that land to the church? That strikes me as amazing. That strikes me as God wants to do something there on that land. And it's not the case where we go to the land and say, oh, by the way, God, come with us and bless what we're doing. I believe God's already there. And he's saying, y'all come down. One developer who had contacted me, and this was a couple of years ago, he was explaining to me on the phone that one of the things he does is that he works with auto parts stores to build different auto parts. So he looks for different land, and works with them to build different lands. So let me ask you a question. You see the property here? Let me ask you a question. Do you see an auto parts store there? I don't. When you look at that property, do you see a gas station there? A QT? They're on every corner. I don't. When you look at that land, do you see a Hardee's there? I don't. Now, the gas stations and the auto parts store and the Hardee's and a whole host of others want that land very, very badly. But there again, isn't it amazing? God gave that land to the church. This is amazing. This is an incredible blessing. When I look at that land, you know what I see? I see a church. I see a church in which the gospel is going out. People are being discipled and the gospel is being shared. When I look at that land, do you know what I see? I see ball fields. We got a ball field up there right now with Victory Sports. It's the Conquer League. If you've not had a chance to be out there, those are some amazing athletes, special needs athletes. They are amazing athletes. They are amazing parents. Just recently, tragedy struck with one of those athletes. He died. And so many people in this church, because we had a relationship with them, We were on top of it. We were there. And that's why we do that. So when there's a need, we're there. We have a relationship there. There's a ball field there. Maybe there's many more ball fields there. Right, Greg? We see ball fields that are there. As we've been partnering with Victory Sports. We want to continue partnering with Victory Sports. You know what else I see on that land? I look at that land. I see a gymnasium. You know why? Because sports is a great, great way to reach people for Christ. A great way to reach families, to reach kids for Christ. And if you don't believe me, follow Victory Sports and go to where they are and see the families and the children. Go see the gospel that's being shared. It's an amazing partnership. I look at that land. You know what else I see? I see help. I see food for the homeless. I see supplies for the homeless. Another great partnership we have is with Sun Ministries, serving our neighbors, where they reach out to the homeless and the nearly homeless. We have a pantry for them right back here. If we continue that, if we look to build a building not with ourselves in mind, here's the overall point here. We could decide to build a building for ourselves, for our own stuff and our own interests and for our own desires, but let's not do that. When we build a building, let's ask ourselves a question. What does the community need? How can we be a blessing to the community? Because that's what it's all about. That's the baton that's been passed to us. It's building hope for the community. This land has been a vision from the very beginning. You can go back to the year 2000, in which this church saw that land. God began to work and began to purchase the first part of that land. This has been the vision for a long time. So what I'm explaining is really nothing new. Nothing new at all. The only difference is that there are more and more people in the church who are becoming more and more convinced that now is the time. The time is right. And it's exciting. So it's been a vision from the beginning. The land is debt-free. All of it. All 12 acres completely debt-free. A couple of years ago, I remember when we made the final payment on the land. One of the sellers for the land was Mrs. Cranford. She lives over this way. Wonderful lady, wonderful Christian lady, loves Jesus. And I remember specifically, Michelle and I took that check. We wanted to hand deliver the check to her. And so we went over there to her house, had a wonderful visit with her, hand delivered the check, and we had a wonderful conversation with her. You know what that conversation entailed? Mrs. Cranford said, "My desire for selling this land to the church is that a church go there." Well, we brought the land in three different segments. And if you go back and you talk to the other two sellers of the other two segments, they say the exact same thing. Here you have a piece of land in an amazing location, and it is the vision and the heart and desire of all the sellers, all three sellers, for a church to go there and for the gospel to be there. And the heart and desire of the church in purchasing it for the same thing to happen. So it's debt-free. We are really, really blessed in that. We don't have a massive amount of land to pay off. We are ready now because we're debt-free. Leadership and ministry structure is in place. We have this, the ministry infrastructure that I like to refer to it as. You know, you go into a neighborhood and you got to put in the piping and electric and all that kind of stuff before you start to build stuff. Well, that ministry infrastructure is in place. Making disciples is the goal. It is conducive for bringing hope to our area. So, what's the next step? The next step is this, is to assemble a Building Hope team. If you're more of a traditional church mindset, you might call this a building committee, but it's a Building Hope team. And that team would work on these few things. Building design. What might a building look like? Estimated cost. As you're designing a building, you also have to juggle, you know, what are the costs? What opportunities do we have in financing? All of these things. Timetable. What would a timetable look like for us to build a building and relocate and begin ministry there? This team would also provide regular updates to the congregation. And they would engage the congregation for input. One of the things that we have found very beneficial in the past, as this church has faced big changes, is that when we engage a conversation with the congregation, it's always a blessing. it's always amazing because God speaks to all of us. And so we want to hear it from the congregation. So here's what the next step would look like. A church town hall. We've had these before. As I said a minute ago, when the church is facing a big decision, whether it's be restructuring our leadership or restructuring our ministries or missions or something like that that involves a big decision within the church, we have had in the past what we call a town hall. And what we do at the town hall is we gather the church together just to informally have a conversation, to have a discussion, to receive input, to receive ideas so that this vision can be further crafted for God's glory. So we have two that are scheduled. The first one will be Sunday, October 23rd, next Sunday at 6:35 p.m. right here in the worship center. The Edge, which is our student ministry, is done at 6:30, and our children's ministry, Sunday Night Live, is done at 6:30. So any of those who are able to stay for that at 6:35 and can join us would be wonderful. If you don't have a child involved in those ministries, then we invite you to come join us at 6:35 here in the worship center next Sunday night. We'll get that date out to you again. But that's for the purpose of gathering input, praying, gathering input from the congregation, questions and answers. Then we'll have another one. Same thing, Wednesday, October 26th at 7:35 right here in the worship center. Our evangelism explosion class ends at 7:30. So at 7:35, we'll be right here. Choir's over, 7:35, we'll be right here. It'll be the same thing. If you can't make Sunday night, maybe you can make Wednesday night. If you can make both, make both. But it's an opportunity for us to begin to flesh this out a little bit. Now, here's the goal. The goal, then, is to have a member meeting with the entire church, a special called member meeting, for the purpose of affirming, as a congregation, for us to affirm this direction, to affirm this vision. And I'm hoping that that's going to take place sometime between in early and mid-November. So that's just next month. And so I am really excited about that. Once that happens, we'll begin forming that Building Hope team, and we'll be off and running. So I think it's a very exciting vision. I think the vision makes sense. I think it's a vision that God has been preparing this church for a long, long time. You know, sometimes we got to wait on God, and sometimes His timetable and His timing, we don't really understand it a lot of times. But let me tell you, and you guys know this, is that when the time is right, you know it. If you're walking with God, you know it. And so this is the time. The baton is being passed of Building Hope. We can't drop it. Let's pray together.